Hi, this is Pastor Patrick of Calvary Chapel, Wichita. I pray that the Lord will richly bless you as you listen to this message.
James 1, verses 19 through 24 this evening. My beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he is. As we look at the definition, as we see how Merriam-Webster agrees with the Bible, we'll go back to James 1:19 and dig a little deeper. So it says, when my brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. I can't tell you how many times in my life I've heard my mother tell me, you have two ears and one mouth, so you need to listen twice as much as you speak. And if anybody who knows me and how much I like to speak, you're like, amen, brother. You know, it gets me thinking, because every time she'd tell me that, I'd get really angry, honestly. I mean, nobody likes to take advice like that. And I wonder if Bruce Banner, his mom, ever gave him that same advice, right? The guy who plays the Hulk, or is the Hulk. You know, there's nothing like a little advice to provoke him, right? Just all of a sudden, you know, all of a sudden half the house is leveled. You know, you can see the couch being shot into the neighbor's yard, and the neighbor's going, hey, Ma, looks like they're correcting that Banner kid again. Yeah, no, you know, not a good thing. And we don't like to be provoked either, do we? You know, we're laughing. But I can tell you what's not funny is the similarities between us and this green giant. There's a lot of similarities. You're like, what do you mean? Well, when we're exasperated or when we're provoked, we find ourselves much in a similar situation. The Hulk with his dual nature and us with ours. Sure, most of us know we have been saved and exist with an eternal nature, yet we also have a monster in us, a monster of flesh warring against that eternal nature. Just as Bruce Banner fought being the monster, so do we. And we may not be able to launch a couch into someone else's yard, but we can do a lot worse. So when we do the opposite of what James 1:19 tells us, when we're slow to hear, quick to speak, and quick to anger, we let the monster win. Paul warns us in Galatians 5:17, for the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. With every deadline that comes, your boss is just over your back at work. With, you know, just the animals in the house, trying to take care of everyday responsibilities. I'll tell you what, you know, all these little devices like your cell phones. You know, what happened to the rotary phone? What happened to the rotary phone? You know who made the cell phone? I'll tell you who made the cell phone. The control freak. That's who made the cell phone. Someone who's always checking on somebody. I mean, who wants to like be tracked down every minute of the day, right? I don't. As a matter of fact, I went through two cell phones just recently. Hence my teaching on anger. I have since repented. But that's the thing, and we were easily provoked, and it begins to creep in. The world becomes a big stick, provoking and poking at your flesh and at your faith. Much like, you know, some of the YouTube videos you see. You see some of those, you know, people messing around, playing with the wild animals, and all of a sudden they get eaten. Video's gone bad. That's what happens. So let's face it, rationally or irrationally, we all get provoked. We all get our buttons pushed, guys. It's just a matter of fact. For me, it's when people don't listen to me. Don't you hate it when people don't listen to you? How invalid you feel. Oh, I know all the junior hires in the high school. I know what they feel like. My parents never paid attention. They never listen. I know, I deal with those guys all the time, so I know. I know. And I don't listen. No, I'm just joking. I do listen to them. But it's really hard because so many of us, we feel like what we have to say is the most important thing. And so many times, you know, Patrick will come in and talk to me, and I'll finish his sentences for him, only to find out that's not what he wanted to say. Man, you'd think after 2 years I'd figure that out. Oh, well. Some lessons come hard. And then there are the people that are just waiting, looking, breathing, waiting for a piece of you. You know the ones that are just on your nerves, just standing there with their deer in the headlights look, just waiting, you know, annoying us, provoking us. Can't they find somewhere else to be ignorant? Man, they make me tired. So, sure, we would like to believe, you know, that they're intentionally out to do us wrong. But before we give them a piece of our mind, I'd like to point out what an unknown author once said. If we're going to give them a piece of our mind, just make sure you can get by with what's left. Amen? So, as I said before, buttons get pushed. So how do we do it? You know, we read the scripture, we see, and we're like, yeah, I've read this scripture a million times, James. I see it. But how do we do it? How do we get from point A to point B? And we need to pay close attention to what James is saying. When we choose to be quick to hear and slow to speak and slow to anger, this opens up some key opportunities for us, guys. Some key opportunities. And the one main one that came to mind as soon as I was putting this together is prayer. Prayer, guys. Prayer, 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 prayer. And I'm going to tell you a story just recently happened to me that I was real fired up. And it taught me that I need to stop and pray. We had a nice youth function. We had an overnight lock-in. Everything went without a hitch. It went well. Everybody was happy when they left. No drama, because there's always drama at the youth events. You know, you got to have your local drama. There was none. There was none. So I knew there was something up right then. So I was had lack of sleep. And so I get home, and all of a sudden, I get on Facebook, I'm posting pictures, I'm all happy, and then all of a sudden, you know, there's the, like somebody posts, I have a great bleeping time at the church lock-in. Right, lack of sleep, not thinking on my feet, and I'll tell you what, I was hot. I jumped on Facebook, not even thinking, okay? First mistake. Yeah, guys, just because you have an electronic device doesn't mean that you have to use it. Just saying, like, in those times of emotional anger and distress, and all of a sudden you're pushing buttons for public display, bad idea. So I put it online, right? So I look online, and somebody already, because I say something to the point like, hey, if you want to talk like this, you want to be like this, then, you know, just don't come to youth group, right? Wow, James, you are a bad man. Yes, I am. Makes you wonder who would let me stand up here and teach. So, guys, this is what happens. Some other youth pastor that liked my Facebook is like, dude, what is the matter with you? You need to be loving, and what is the matter with you? And you need to be loving, and what's the matter with you? I'm like, oh, man, you know what? I was like, and this is how hot I was. Here is my phone number. Call me. We'll talk. I was that mad. Like I said, I repented. I'm sorry. So I get angry. Then all of a sudden, I look back, and my post is gone. I was like, what? My post is gone. And right away, like a light bulb went on in my head. I was like, Patrick Farrell, I know your ways. I know your ways. And so I call him like right away. I'm like, where's my post? Yeah, he's like, you know, and the more angered I got, the like more calm he got. He's like, James. I'm like, what? He's like, I don't agree with your methods, man. And so, needless to say, I realized at that point, and after I calmed down and Patrick kind of talked me off the ledge, that I need to pray before any time that we are angered. We must stop and pray. guys, and here's some other key elements of praying and the benefits of it, is it gives us an opportunity to listen, which shows that we care. After all, love hopes all things, right? Even in adversity. Even in adversity, when we're so angry, I mean, love has to prevail. I mean, that's what we're called to, right? So it gives us opportunities to see if we need to forgive even. Like, it's a chance to check our heart. Get that heart checked. Say, hey, am I really where I should be right now? And then, of course, if we're too quick to speak, we can easily end up playing the hypocrite. Nothing like, you know, because of course, I get mad at this kid for swearing on Facebook, and he's in, you know, this guy's in sin, and I'm sinning while he's in sin. And so I'm the hypocrite all of a sudden, and people are watching. And so you call yourself a Christian, people are watching. So, I get it, James, right? What about the people who were actually out to get me? You haven't mentioned them yet, have you? Oh, I'm getting to them. I'm getting to them. We're going to take care of them. So what about the people who are out to get us? People who purposely want to do us wrong. Well, honestly, people, I really think that most people, I think they just have good intentions. And sure, good intentions pay the road to hell, but you know. They have good intentions, and honestly, I would say most people who are wolves don't even realize they're wolves. You know, they don't have that heightened awareness. They don't get it until it goes down. And so, but just for the small percentile of evildoers out there, let's have the conversation, guys. Let's face it, those people need to get what's coming to them. I am God's child. Oh, no. I am His anointed. Don't touch me. Look like I'm going to have to be mad and take care of business. Let's go ahead, and you don't have to turn there, but we're going to, the next excerpt I'm taking is out of Genesis 34. It's a story about Jacob's daughter. Her name was Dinah. Jacob's daughter was bled out in, you know, among a unsupervised in a heathen land. And, you know, a land that God had not even called Jacob to, but however, they, you know, they were there, and she's running the streets by herself and ends up getting raped. So the guy who rapes her, Shechem, the son of Hamor the Hivite, they go to make it right with Jacob. What's been done, they're like, you know what, we want to marry your daughter. You know, Shechem's like, I love her. We want to make things straight. You know, Jacob's talking to him, and the brothers hear this. The brothers don't play. The brothers are like, it says in verse 7, they were grieved and angry because they had done a disgraceful thing in Israel by lying with Jacob's daughter, a thing that ought not to have been done. So the brothers came up with a plan, those crafty guys. And they tell Shechem, we can't give up our sister to an uncircumcised people, so get circumcised. We'll give you our sister. Wow, that's a hard sell when you go back to the camp, right? Yeah, hard sell. You're like, hey guys, I want to get married. Everybody's getting circumcised. Hoorah! Yeah, I think I'm going to pass on that one. But you have to realize Jacob was very well-to-do. They were very well-to-do, a lot of money, and, you know, there's nothing, you know, being of heathen mind, being of the world, they're thinking, yeah, we're going to marry into, you know, it's just going to make us bigger, more powerful. So they're like, yeah, let's do this thing. So they get everybody circumcised, right? So being the good brothers they are, they waited till everyone was circumcised, nice and sore, came in and killed everyone. They killed everyone. Shechem, Hamor, all the men, took the women, took the children. Man, they were knuckle bumping all the way back to their home, man. They're like, man, they deserve that. They're like, yes, yes, those fools got what they deserve, messing with God's children. What were they thinking? In the end, they came home. Jacob was angry with them. He says, you have troubled me. You made me obnoxious in this land. They're going to come and kill me. They were like, whatever, Dad. You just want to turn the other way and let our sister be treated like a prostitute. Ooh. So if you guys are applauding the brothers right now, let's turn to Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. There are seven things that are an abomination to God. And if there's a checklist for disobedience, this would be it. They found it. They found the checklist and they started marking off from the top. It says, a proud look. Well, remember, it's something that ought not to be done. They were so arrogant and proud. And so the proud look, a lying tongue, they had no intention of giving over their sister. Hands that shed innocent blood. Hey, man, only Shechem raped the daughter, right? And then you have a heart that devises wicked plans. You know, while they were sitting planning that, they weren't thinking, well, maybe this is a bad idea. They weren't thinking that at all. They were angry. And then you have the feet that are swift to run to evil. They ran as fast as they could. And a false witness who speaks lies. And when I think about this, I think about a false witness. And when I hear the word witness, I always assume a child of God or a Christian or somebody who is bringing and bearing witness to the Most High that we are His children, and that, you know, lying is that witness. Like, you know, representing God's people and being a liar. And then one who sows discord among the brethren. Now these are abominations. These aren't just like bad things. These are like abominations. This is, God hates this stuff. And so, you know, just to get past, I mean, and we see that they sow discord because their dad is in total disagreement with them. Their dad's in total, they're like, what are you doing? It's like, oy vey, what have you done to me? What have you done to me? So how can we find the checklist for obedience or to please God when we get angry? If that's the checklist of disobedience, I believe we can probably find it in Romans 12, 19 through 21. It says, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. If your enemy is hungry, feed them. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For by doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. But the injustice, what about the children, James? What about the children? What about the people who are, what about the children? What about the people who are doing wrong to the innocent? Oh, we'll get to them. It says in James 1:20 that the wrath of a man does not produce the righteousness of God. Here's what you're thinking, guys. Ephesians 4:26, because you're gonna, you know, you're like, yeah, but you be angry and do not sin. I can be angry, James. Oh, I have the right to be angry. And if God says I can do it, then, well, God knows better, and then He knows better than you, James. So go back over to the youth basement and, you know, be over there where you belong, because I can be angry and sin. Okay, fine. Yes, how could I forget about righteous anger? Silly me. Or what we call in the Christian circles, righteous indignation. Oh, man. We love our righteous indignation, don't we? So if we are going to talk about righteous anger, I figure it would only be proper to look at the source of where righteous anger comes from. And that would be God's anger. God's anger. The wrath of God. Nelson's dictionary defines it as the personal manifestation of God's holy moral character in judgment against. It is neither an impersonal process, nor irrational, nor fitful like anger. It is in no way vindictive or malicious. It is holy indignation. Now, we might be anointed and we might be friends with the angels, guys. But if you look in the Bible of the times a man is angry and did not sin, you can count them on your hand. Maybe one and a one over here. By pulling the righteous indignation card, you're basically saying you have perfect understanding of God's anger. That you are communing so tight with God that you are like hanging with Moses. Yeah. Good luck with that, guys. So let's face it. Temptation happens, you know, and that's what it all comes down to. Temptation happens, you know, we don't need to be hiding behind righteous indignation, and let's not make a pet out of it. It's a temptation just like looking at a pretty girl or finding somebody's wallet on the ground, you know, whether we're going to return it with the money or not. It's just like that. When we choose it, it begins to have a ripple effect. So often, when anger is chosen, it is a prelude to sinful disaster. So let's just put it this way. Patrick, he comes in, he's in a bad mood, he makes me mad. He says something like, hey, James, you talk too much, which I know is true, but I'm mad anyway. So I go home, my wife has made dinner, I'm like, I don't want to eat, Patrick has made me mad, I'm going to go hide, I'm going to go study and be angry. And so, you know, she gets mad. And she's like, you know, the kids haven't cleaned up after themselves. So she's like, gets mad at them. And she's like, hey, why haven't you cleaned up? So the kids go out and kick the dog. The dog goes out and kills a squirrel. Actually, everybody knows I don't like dogs or have dogs. So it's actually her kicking the kids and them going killing a squirrel. Sorry, honey. Just teasing. So either way, squirrels die. We need to stop being angry. Seriously, you can see that when we choose anger, everyone is affected. That's the bottom line. So why is it so hard to control, James? Why is it so hard to control? James is telling us what to do and why it is wrong in 19 and 20, but we must look at 21 and 22 for the solid application. James 1, 21 and 22 state, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. We must destroy the flesh. We must not choose the flesh by choosing the Spirit, putting on the mind of Christ. It's a choice. And we must, in Philippians 1:27, I think it's in the latter part of it, it says, that I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel. That mind is the mind of Christ striving forward, not in anger, but in the awesome news that we are saved. When we choose to put on Christ rather than our anger, in the flesh we are able to do what in Ephesians tells us. In Ephesians 4:29, it says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. So we can be angry, but when we put on Christ, like we get to stand back, we get to pray, we get to think about it, and then we get to, like, and Lord can just move through us and use us and speak, and we can impart grace, and we can build people up. It's beautiful. And then it says, it is through Christ we, as it says in verse 22, be doers of the word and not just hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So why is this so important, guys? Well, verse 23 and 24 state, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he is. That's easy to do when we choose not to put on Christ, guys, to forget what we look like in the mirror. And it really is. So if I'm not in prayer or in the Word asking God to search my heart, I still get angry. And it is a spiritual warfare, guys. This is not easy stuff. I mean, I grew up around anger. I am angry. I try not to be. It is a struggle that I have to work out with fear and trembling and with God. It's what builds that relationship, pushing forward. And when I came on staff, it's funny to do facilities here. I was so I thought it was going to work like it did in the world. I really did. I mean, if somebody would have told me what I would have had to endure just in facilities alone before I started, I probably would have never started. Not where I was in my walk. Not where I was in my walk. But the Lord, He has a sense of humor. And, you know, He worked with me. He worked with me. And I got angry, and I would get frustrated. And I still do, guys. I get mad in some days, and I choose Christ other days. It's not pretty. But I am no longer a sinner, but I still sin. I'm a Christian, but I still get angry. You know, come out to facility fellowship sometimes. You'll see me. I'm not always happy. It's the truth. It's what we are, God. We have that dual nature, fighting, struggling. Come out and see and pray for me, please. Yes, we must push forward. Provocation is a choice. When we are provoked and we have that anger in front of us, it is a choice right then and there that you can take instead of being angry, going with it, and as you see the laundry list of all the bad stuff that it brings, you can put on Christ instead. How sweet is that? To put on Christ instead. So we are righteous when we choose to put on the mind of Christ by faith, and we enjoy that fruit of the Spirit that allows us to have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. When we have that control, we are able to separate the sin from the person. That's the good stuff. Because being the dual nature, as we move closer to the Lord, we're able to sift and separate that, and we're able to see it in others. And we, you know, I'll tell you what, growing up, I liked a lot of the heavy metal bands, I liked a lot of the crazier stuff, you know, all the secular stuff. And I just remember a lot of Christians looked at me and they judged me. And it was like, it really bummed me out. Like growing up, man, the 80s were like hardcore, man. Like they're burning records and being crazy. You know, like I remember my aunt would not let me wear like certain t-shirts into her house. She had like the James Extra t-shirt. She had the Heathen Free t-shirt waiting for me. And, you know, and I look back at that. And I mean, I know she's grown in her walk and she probably wouldn't do it anymore. But man, we got to get past that. If we're ever going to be effective and touch the world and share with a dying world the love of Christ, we have to be able to distinguish the two, and the only way is to put on Christ. So we're able to be quick to hear. So when we have that control, we're able to separate the sin from the person. We're able to be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, being able to pray for that insight to be discerning when provoked. We cannot be angry, and then that's great when we actually are not angry, because we've taken time to stop and pray. We've taken time to stop and internalize it. So we don't have to hide behind righteous indignation once we do that. I think that is amazing. That is exciting. You know, guys, I don't care who you are. I mean, I love using the righteous indignation card. It's like, it's so quick, just throw it on the table. I'm mad. But man, it's great when you don't have to use it. God can use you so much more effectively when you don't have to use it. So being able to pray for that insight, to be discerning when provoked, we cannot be angry and do not have to hide behind righteous indignation, because we have cast all of ourselves onto Christ, being meek. And we all know that being meek means having power under control, being teachable, being humble. But meek is to have, we have this power to not be angry in Christ. And He gives us control over that. Be controlled to make a choice, so that we may be doers of His word, that we may be used and effective for His kingdom, that when we see our natural face, that we plainly identify ourselves with Christ. We don't forget. When we're in the Word, when we're praying, and we're focused on these things, when we put on Christ, we identify. When we look in the mirror, we see it. We don't forget. We're not forgetting, but knowing the one who we can do all things through. The one that we can do all things through. I'm going to leave you this evening with a challenge and a request. There's many types of anger. I know, I think, every last one of them personally. But the ones that divide brothers, the ones that divide sisters, the ones that divide churches, those are from the pits of hell. And guys, in your even man, if you're bearing anger and hostility in your marriage, think, you know, some of you guys are letter writers. You know, write just a nasty letter. I'll just write it out and then just keep it. It never even gets to the person, right? Just write a nasty letter. Or you're just holding it in, guys. Just because you're not showing it here doesn't mean that it's not a problem. So, guys, I challenge you. Put on the mind of Christ. Just let go. Put all of yourself. Put all of yourself in the hands of the God that loves you. I just ask that you would just pray and seek the Lord. Seek your heart. See what anger, if there's any anger, anything, any kind of sin that's just harboring there, get rid of it. Lay it on God. Let Him have it. Have victory in it. Dear Heavenly Father, we love You so much, and Father, I just pray that that You would speak to each of our hearts, including mine. Even though I have been studying this, Father, I continually see how I do have anger just harbored up in my heart, Father, for things that I didn't even realize, Father. Father, I just pray that this time You would bless it, that You would just heighten our self-awareness, Father, of who we are to You, who You are to us, Father, that You would draw us in a way and fill us with Your Spirit, that we would be able to cast all filthiness out, Father, that we'd be able to be used by You. Father, we love You and we thank You. As we leave here tonight, Father, I just thank You for my brothers and sisters, Father, and I just pray that You just continue to move mightily among Your people, that You would anoint and heal and speak to each person here, and that just forgiveness and love would rule in our heart, Father, through Your Son, through Your majesty, through Your power, Father. We're so undeserving, Father, but You love us anyway. So, Father, we thank You, we praise You. Just pray that this time is glorified. In Jesus' name.
We hope the Lord has spoken to you through His Word today. If you've got questions or comments about this message, we'd love to hear from you. And if you're in the Wichita area and don't have a church that you call home, I hope you'll drop by and check us out. You can always get current service times and directions at area code 316-263-3804 or online at www.ccwichita.org. Most importantly, though, please remember, God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son that whosoever believes in Him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. We've all sinned. We've all rebelled against God. And the penalty for that sin is eternal death. But God, in His mercy, sent Jesus to pay that price, to die that death for us. That's why Jesus went to the cross 2,000 years ago. He died so we wouldn't have to. and he rose again in glory, promising eternal life with him forever for those who put their trust in him. So if you haven't decided what to do with the cross, why not say yes to Christ's free gift of salvation right now? You can do it wherever you are simply by praying, "Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. I confess I am a sinner, and I need your free gift of salvation. Jesus, please come into my life. Be my Savior and be my Lord. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen." The scripture tells us if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, then you are his. So pick up a Bible and start reading. Begin at the Gospel of John to understand and rejoice in everything it means to be a child of God. If you're in the Wichita area, I hope that you'll stop by. We'll make sure you have a Bible along with some materials to help you begin your walk with the Lord. If you're not close by, feel free to give us a call. We'll be glad to help you find a solid Bible teaching church in your area. Thanks again for listening. May the Lord richly bless you as you commit your ways to Him.